All right, well, I'm going to start a little series this week on prayer. I'm really excited about it. It's doing a lot of, just personally, it's doing a lot of deep things in me, a lot of conviction, and which only results in good things for you. And so we're gonna do it for 3 weeks starting this week. Next week, Ray Warren will be here to do to talk about maybe one of the one thing that he's just absolutely the best at, which is practically what does it look like to have a personal life of prayer? What does it mean to have a lifestyle of prayer, not just at a meeting, but how do you live your life in a way where you're always praying, and how do you do that? That's right up his alley. It's going to be cool. He'll be here next week. Also, be great to see him and Kathy. I'm excited about it. We'll go out to lunch after, so think about that. It'd be great for all of us to go out and hang out with them. Ray is the founding pastor of this church, those of you who don't know him. And then the week after that, I'll close out the series and try to wrap things up. My goal today is really just one thing, and that is to get you amped up about prayer the way God's been doing that with me. That is it. I'm not going to talk a lot about, because it's a series, I don't have to yet. I'm not going to talk a lot about how to pray or what to do to pray or any of that stuff or the boundaries of prayer and all those kind of finer points. I'm just going to talk about how silly it is that we don't pray, really, and try to get you in a place of faith and excitement about prayer, the idea of prayer. Because I personally have not been. We are not strong here, okay, as a church. We have people here that are strong prayers. And, I mean, thank God, because if it weren't for them, we wouldn't be praying, okay? And what I've realized about myself is that it's not that I don't believe that God's not there. It's been years since I've even doubted the fact that God was there and actively involved in my life, and I mean, significantly doubted. There's always moments. But it's not that I don't think he's not there or involved in my life. It's just that I don't think sometimes he's listening to me personally. I think just a few years ago when life got kind of hard and things went what I thought were bad, somewhere in there I just sort of went, man, God's not listening to me. And got kind of disappointed. And then just sort of quit. And so when difficult things would happen in my life, what I would respond to the difficulty with or to my needs with or whatever, instead of asking God, I would just say, well, I would find a principle and just apply it. I'd say, well, God, I'm just going to be faithful, right? I'm going to have faith in God. I'm not going to doubt God. I'm just going to keep doing what God told me to do no matter what. I'm going to have faith. And at some point, God's going to bless me. And then sometimes things wouldn't happen that I wanted to happen. And I'm convinced now that it's because I just didn't ask. That there are things that have not happened in my life that I do not have, blessings I do not have, things that I have not seen happen, that have not happened because I have not asked. And so I'm just been really convicted about some of this stuff. And so what I want to do, start today, is just begin a little bit of a course correction for our church. Okay, that is in large part my fault, but it's also your fault. Okay? I take some responsibility because I haven't pushed prayer, but also you haven't either, all right? And so it's my fault and your fault. So I just want to, it's not a heavy thing. It's just let's change course a little bit and let God correct some things in the way we look at this, all right? I want to start, I'm going to pray in just a minute, but I want to start maybe in a different place than what you would expect. But let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just... Well, we ask you, Lord, to just come right now and remind us that you are real and you are alive and you are here listening. Lord, we are not talking about you like you're not here. We're talking about you as though you're here in the room and you are speaking to us yourself. So Lord, I ask you to do that miraculous thing where you speak through me, through your word, to people's hearts. Changes. Lord, that is what we ask for. That's what I pray that would be our heart's focus and our mind's focus this morning. Amen. I'm going to start by just talking about the providence, the sovereignty of God in all things. All right? And if this doesn't seem like it has anything to do with prayer at all, in fact, it might even seem like it has the opposite to do with prayer for a minute, Just hang with me for a minute, and there'll be a moment, I pray, at the end where you go, oh, wow, all right? So here's the sovereignty, the providence of God, God's control over all things is like the bedrock doctrine of just about everything, okay, even prayer. And it is not, some will say it's in conflict, that prayer and the sovereignty of God, how do we pray, what does this all mean, how does it work together? There's not a conflict there. There's some things we don't understand, but it is the foundation of why we pray and why prayer is so doggone amazing, all right? So I'm going to start. I've got a lot of Bible to throw at you. I'm going to put it up here because of that. Otherwise, you'd be getting paper cuts. So if you want to keep up in your Bible and you're just a speed drill person, go right ahead. Check my work. Feel free. Hebrews 1:3. We're going to start with this. God holds all things together. That's the phrase. God holds everything. You, me, the molecules and neurons and whatnots that stick together that make us who we are and make the universe what it is, he holds it all together. Hebrews 1:3 says it. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, it's Jesus, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So he upholds everything just by the word of his mouth. If Jesus were gone, we would be gone too. He is involved in everything. Uphold here, that word uphold in that verse means to continually carry something along from one place to another. So it's not that God created the earth and then let it go. He upholds it. It's a continuous thing. He carries the entire weight of it, all of it. It'd be like me picking up clay on my shoulders and carrying him from there to there. I am completely supporting clay's weight. That's how the universe is on God's shoulders. Completely. There is nothing we do or do not do that sustains the earth. It is all God. It does not simply mean to sustain, but has a sense of active, purposeful control over the object being carried. This is why it's okay to ask God for parking spaces. It's because God is involved in everything. He holds it all together, continually sustaining it. Colossians 1:15-17. One of my favorite scriptures. I'm not supposed to have favorites, but there it is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, everything that is was made by him, and through him, and ultimately for him. It's like this big circle. He started it, he sustains it, and he's the ultimate goal and purpose of it. Okay? It's like a closed system. God is a closed system. Everything is by him, through him, and for him. All right? One of my favorite ways to say this is he is the uncaused cause. He has no beginning, but he is the beginning of everything. He is the uncaused cause. Everything that is and everything that happens, he is the cause of. All right? There's no getting around this. He's in it all, he's through it all, and it's all for him. All right? Nothing exists outside of him and his will. Do you hear that? Oh, Mike's getting excited. Mike's amped up already. Y'all just need to follow his lead today, all right? Listen. Nothing happens outside of his will. Nothing. Whether you call it bad or good, nothing happens outside of his will. Nothing. Second point, every single aspect of our lives is governed by him. We are all utterly dependent on God for our daily bread, breath in our lungs, and every need we have, whether we acknowledge it or not. That's what that prophetic word I gave earlier was basically about. It's whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you want it or not, you were dependent on me. Now it's just time you notice it. Right? Even when our needs are met by natural means, Scripture says that ultimately it all comes from God. Even though you work your job and you get paid with a paycheck from with your employer's name on it, and you take that money that you've earned yourself and you provide for your family, you know, food and roof over their heads or whatever, the Scripture says that ultimately He is your provider. He's the one that gave you those skills. He's the one that gave you that job. He's the one that gave you that promotion. It is all from Him. And if it were not for Him, you would be scrap. You'd be toast. All right? I'll prove it to you. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Every day, this day right now, where you are, what you're doing right now, was formed by God before you were even in your mama's womb. He governs it all. Every talent and ability is from God. 1 Corinthians 4:6-7. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against the other. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Everything comes from God. Everything. What you have because He gave it to you. When you look at your kids, though you, in a sense, made that kid, He gave it to you. It is from Him. That job you have or that job you don't have, He gave to you. It's all from Him. Third thing, He's sovereign over nations and rulers. I'm telling you, it's complete. There is nothing He is not in control over. Okay? Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever He will. Well, that kind of messes you up when you go vote, doesn't it? Or when you're watching the news. Do you ever remind yourself when you're watching the news, you get all worked up and torqued over something your government's doing? You need to remind yourself now and then of this verse. That man's heart is like a stream of water in the hand of God. He turns it where He wants to turn it. Relax. Be a good citizen, but chill out. Right? Just take a breath. Psalm 33:13-15. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. Nothing happens outside of His watch and His control. So it might seem like, what's the point of prayer? Right? If God's in control of all things, nothing happens outside of His control, then why pray? Why should we just be one of these hyper-Calvinists, right, that just say, don't ever witness to anybody, don't ever pray, just sit back and wait for it all to end because He's in control anyway, He's got a plan, right? John 14:13, this is going to, this tweaks me in my soul. It says this, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Another one, another chapter down in John 15:7-8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So here's God saying, yes, I am in control of everything. Nothing happens outside of my will. I am involved in it all. It's all in my hand, right? The hearts of the rulers and the authorities and the nations are like a stream of water in my hand. I can turn it wherever I want. Yes, but if you pray, I'll do it. I am going to take your prayer and fold it into my will. Does that not freak you out a little bit? James 4. Love this. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you. That's a whole other sermon right there. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You do not have because you do not ask. That means that there are things I do not have, that I have not experienced, that I have not seen God do because I have not asked. There are things that are not, that have not come to pass, that have not come into existence because I have not asked. It doesn't mean, it doesn't say, the verse means what it means. The opposite is true. There are things that if I ask will come into being that if I had not asked would never happen. Does that make you a little nervous? It means what it means. You do not have because you have not asked. And I haven't been asking. What a colossal fool I am. What a just ridiculous, foolish man I've been to not ask. Here's God saying, look, I've got this table. I have set this table. I'm God. I can eat by myself if I want to, and I'll be just fine. I'm fine. I'm not lonely, but I've got this table. And I'm inviting you to sit at my table and have a conversation with me, and we will, and I will listen to you and actually do things that you ask me to do. You little peon creation get to ask me, the holy, perfect, infinite God, for a request, and I'll listen to you and do it. I'm asking you to come and let me just fold in your desires, your requests, your prayers, your thoughts into my will for the earth. That freaks me out. How can this be? Next to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I think this is the most incredible gift God has ever given us. Because he could have just made us and said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm just going to control you like robots. God doesn't need us. He didn't have to give this to us. John 15, 14 through 16 says this. What a scripture. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Uh-oh. No longer do I call you servants. For the servant does not know what his master is doing. Servant just takes orders. If I want the servant to dig a hole and then fill it back up, the servant will do it. He doesn't have to know my heart, doesn't know my thoughts or why he's doing it. He just does it. He's my servant. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. All that Jesus has heard from his Father, he's made known to us. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So this whole prayer thing is based on our relationship with him. The fact that we are not servants. We're not slaves. We're not like, you know, remember the prodigal son? He comes home. And he just says, let me just be a servant in your house. I'll be good. That's all I need. And the father says, no, you're my son. He brings him in and gives him the favored place. This prayer thing is basically, when we start feeling like we're servants, we quit praying. Because who cares what he thinks? I'm just going to do what he says. I'm just going to follow the rules. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do my thing. I'm just going to be a servant in my father's house. And this friend thing, to why pray? I'm just taking orders. But God says, that God, the one who is sovereign over all things, right? That big, scary, big God says, I'm his friend. And because I'm his friend, he wants to know, he wants to hear from me. He wants to know what's in my heart. He wants to share and show what's in his heart for me. It's amazing. God has ordained it that our puny little prayers will be folded up into His will. We have been asked to come and participate in His sovereignty in such a way that there are things that God will do or won't do because we ask Him. So there are people that are sick because we haven't asked. There are people that are not blessed because we haven't asked. There are people that don't know Jesus because we haven't asked. This is the reality. And God is, in His sovereignty, has ordained it to be that way. And He is waiting for us to ask. We can't, He doesn't, you can say, well, God's got a plan. Yeah, His plan is for you to open your mouth and pray. That's His plan. I love the way John Piper talks about it, where he says, look, it's like you've got a nail, and God has designed the nail to be hit with a hammer. He's given you the hammer. So let's say the nail, right, is somebody getting healed. Well, let's one up it. Let's say you've got a family member that needs to meet Jesus. That's the nail. And God's given you a hammer. And He's saying, hit the daggone nail with the hammer. And you're standing there going, waiting for God to hit the nail. And there's something about, and I look, this is a mystery. It's a mystery. Why and how God would wait, would say, okay, Ben, I want you to come and participate with me in my plan for the universe. Are you kidding me? I mean, imagine if, like, President Obama, whatever you think about him, look, the fact is, if he called you up and said, could you come, you know, hang out in my cabinet meetings and tell me what you think about what we should do in Iraq. And hey, we'll discuss it. What do you think? And if you, you know, you Air Force One came, picked you up at RDU, flew you to Washington, D.C., you got walked in by the Secret Service, sat down in the room with the blue carpet and everything, and he's going, so, Vic, what do you think? It would freak you out. You're not going to argue about his politics in that moment, are you? You're going to be like, what? What? Seriously? You're going to... This is... If that is shocking to you, the thought of imagining that happening, how much more so should it be that the God of the universe, the one who made the universe, is asking you for your input? It just shatters me to think that I have endured so many things and let so many opportunities go by, so many moments where I could have just said, God, it's your friend Ben. Can't we talk about something? Can I ask you, would you do this? Would you? How many times have I just not done that? Because I thought, oh, I'll just try it myself. I'll try some of my own solutions first. When the King, the God of the universe, standing there with access to all power, infinite power, omnipotence, all-knowing, all-powerful God, can see all the way into the future, all the way into the past, all things knowable, all things possible, all things actual. He knows it all, and I'm not asking Him. I'm trying to work it out in my own intellectual ability to understand what's going to happen so I can figure it out. When He's standing there going, I know everything, and I can do anything, and you're not asking. God wants to party with us. He wants to pull us in to what He's doing. He wants to let us see, hey, Ben, check this out. Look what I'm doing here. Look what I'm doing. You want to help me? You know, yesterday, this really struck me yesterday as I was thinking about this word, and we were over at Charlie and Gail's thing, and little Owie, my son Owen, we won a little bed, a kids' bed, bunk beds, and at the auction, and we're loading it up in the truck, and Owen comes over, and he wants to help, right? And so I got this big metal thing, and Owen's like, Vic was there, and Owen's like holding the corner of this thing, and I'm holding the entire weight of it, right? And Owen's like, you know? And he's like, look at me, I'm helping, you know? And it was so exciting for him, that he got to help Dad. And that's the I think the main thing with prayer is praying with a childlike heart. We all go, well, yeah, but when I prayed this, it didn't happen. Yeah, I got disappointed, and my life's been so hard, and so now I'm just cynical, and I don't want to do this anymore. Look, God said no. I'm sorry. God says no sometimes. But the fact that he let you in the door to ask is amazing. Isn't it? And that he let you stand next to him and help him carry that thing and skip along beside him. And that's so joyful and fun. It's fun. It was fun for me. He said, hey, good job, Owen. Seeing him smiling, it's so cool. That's the way God wants us to be with him. That's what prayer's about. There are boundaries that we could discuss for sure, praying that, you know, in accordance with the will of God and all these things that we'll talk about. But, you know, I think you're not allowed to ask that question until you're actually praying, honestly. Otherwise, it's this kind of cynical, well, what are the boundaries? What are the boundaries of prayer? Because, look, until you're praying audacious, ridiculous, faith-filled prayer, don't talk to me and don't talk to him about where the boundaries are. You're just being cynical and putting some kind of religious, hyper-spiritual, fake biblical stamp on it, and you want to say, well, I'm not going to pray until I understand how this whole thing works. Stop it. Take the hammer, take the nail. Walk with God. I'm convinced that as we pray, God opens up his heart and opens up his will and begins to show us things, not just so we can prophesy, but he shows us things because he enjoys it. He enjoys showing his heart and saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. Check it out. Check it out. All of a sudden, you're looking at the world around you with faith. When you lose your job, or when companies fall, or when things happen in the world that are scary, you look at it and you go, God's purpose is in that. God's in control there. And you begin to pray from a position of faith and friendship with God. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Show me what you're doing. How can I help? How can I pray? What do I say? What do I do? And all of a sudden, you're not going, oh, all the time. You're just looking for the heart of God. A different thing. God is offering you a seat at his table. And some of you, including me, are standing in the corner with your arms crossed like a stubborn fool. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to sit down and eat. Really? Either going, you, who, me, shuffling, looking at the floor, or you're angry because God said no to something or didn't do something that you wanted him to do and you thought you could control him, and he just said no. And so you've gone, you've said, I'm going to take my ball and go home. I'm going to stand in the corner with my arms crossed and not enjoy the party. And you need to repent. But I know there are a vast range of hardships in this room and disappointments, and I'm not making those small or insignificant. What I'm saying is, eternally speaking, the fact that God let you in the room to ask him in the first place should blow your mind and give you joy. It's amazing to me how when tragedies happen, you know, when Katrina hits in New Orleans, and everybody goes, oh, where was God? But every time a baby is born, nobody says, oh, where was God? Every time you fall in love, or you get a new job, or you get blessed, or something good happens, or the sun comes up, for heaven's sake, nobody goes, oh, there's God. They just complain about where was God when the bad things happen. Listen, it is God's pleasure to let you in at his table. And you will experience more joy and more relationship with him because you're his friend. Than any other way. Pray, pray, pray. So, what do we do? We're going to talk more about prayer for the next couple of weeks. I'm going to give you a couple of assignments to think about. One is, think about what God's called you to do. What is it that you're supposed to be doing? Is it being a mom? Is it the job you have? What is it that God's put you on the planet to do? Your unique expression of God's call in your life. What is it? You don't know, start figuring out. But when you figure that out, what is it that needs to happen in order for that to come to pass? Think it through, okay? If I'm called to be a pastor, I'll use myself as an example. What are the things that are in my way? In my own heart, in my own life, and then financially, physically, practically, whatever it is, and begin to pray and say, God, this is what needs to happen. I have to change in this way. This circumstance has to change. Whatever it is, and begin to ask Him and petition Him and say, what's your heart? Help me. And begin to ask God and pray on purpose for those things. Second thing, and this is going to take you some time if you really do it. That is this. If you could ask God for one thing to grant you, excluding everything else, if you only had time to ask Him for one thing that He would do for you, what would it be? If you can condense that down to one sentence, and I don't mean, well, I would like Him to you know, peace on the planet, and no. One, if you couldn't ask Him for anything else, condense that down to one sentence and ask Him and begin to petition God. Get before Him and ask Him for that one thing. Let it all get boiled down to that. Because what happens is when you do that, as you discover what's in your heart, what's really there, what you really need, what the really important things are, not the stuff and the junk and the little piddly little distractions in your life that you spend all your time, but what really matters, and bring that thing to God, because that's the scary thing, right? That's the scary thing. That if God doesn't do that, well then, I'm going to be shaken. That's the scary thing in your life. That's the thing God wants to do right there. Begin to ask Him. God is inviting you to His table. He said, let's talk about the universe. Let's talk about my plan for Curtisville. What do you think? Ask me. Come on, ask me. Let's talk about your family. Not just your kids right now, but the generations that are going to come. Let's talk about it. Let's start thinking about it. Why don't you tell me what you want? Tell me what you want your grandkids and your great-grandkids to be like. Ask me. What do you want their lives to be like? Ask me. Invite, come, listen. How about the United States? Come on now. Not just in now or the next 20 years, but the next 200 years. What do you want for this country to be like? Ask me. Come on, why not? You're in His cabinet. You're there. Why not ask? Right? It gives Him joy. It gives Him joy and it gives you joy. All right. I've beaten the dead horse. Officially. Over the next couple of weeks, you're also going to be talking about prayer in your small groups. Y'all know how that works. So I'm going to encourage you on those two things. What one thing would you ask God for? Not just your arthritis or whatever. One thing, excluding all others, would you ask God for? And begin to think about that and try to boil it down to one sentence. And in your small groups, you're going to be talking about prayer, praying for each other, doing those kind of things. I want to encourage you, if you're going to do something, maybe you should start by praying. We have Sunday morning prayer here at 9 o'clock. You just begin to ask God on your way home, in your car, when you're by yourself, whatever it is, begin to ask God to open His heart to you. And begin to ask Him things in your life. Pray. And we're going to hit this thing for 3 weeks. And God's going to change something here. We're going to become a people of prayer, not just people who have good principles and good theology and just keep going, because we keep going, that's what we do. We're going to be people who pray and ask God and seek God deeply. Amen? Why don't we stand up and pray? Lord, just thank you for this incredible gift that is prayer. Lord, that we can talk to you. We're not just talking to the sky or to the wall or to ourselves or even to each other. We're speaking to you, and you're listening. Because you rose from the dead, and you're not dead in that grave, you're alive. And you're here, you're with us. You're in us. That when we pray and we talk to you, you listen and you hear and you take us seriously. So Lord, I just pray for everyone here who is disappointed in you and has begun to doubt that you're listening. God, I pray that you would transform that in their heart right now. That they would begin to see that you're listening. And Lord, you're still God. There's still things we don't understand about you. I don't understand why you do the things you do sometimes. But God, the very idea that you would ask me to come and participate with you in the way you work in people's hearts and in the world is amazing. Lord, that we would all be like my son Owen, just walking beside you, helping. That just the act of prayer itself would be joy to us. Stir up our faith. Lord, I pray as Ray comes next week, God, that you would just uncork him with all the years of wisdom and experience and life that he's seen come through prayer in his own life. God, I pray that you would just release that to us. God, you'd help us to be open vessels. God, that you would change us into people who pray without ceasing. They don't just pray in meetings or pray when we feel like it, but pray constantly. That we're constantly in fellowship and in communication with you. So that you would put something in the foundation of who we are as people. That we are friends of God who know his heart, who have a friend in God who has revealed his will and revealed his heart to us in a way that gives us joy. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.